Good morning. Welcome in the name of the Lord. This Resurrection Sunday morning, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Some 1,959 years ago, Christ rose. And we rejoice. And for some of us, we know it for a fact. And it's our heart's desire and prayer that this morning, if you're not sure, you'll know Christ personally as well. Why don't we look in the Word, first of all, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, and I'll read it to you. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and the seasons, Christian, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, Christian, are not in darkness, so that that day will overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day, and you are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of salvation of hope. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are alive or die, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that this morning is a signpost, that we look back at this event that has caused us to come this morning to what we call church, to what you call church. And Lord, there's many reasons why people have come this morning. And Father, we pray that we would all leave this morning with one understanding and one hope. Dear God in heaven, we pray that you'd open our hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys stand for a moment and greet each other, and then we'll get into the word. All right, stop the fellowship, will you? We need to have a picnic real soon, I think. People, this day brings us together like no other day in human history. If you're a Christian this morning, a real Bible-believing Christian, there's life in this day. For some of us, we've been up since 1:30 in the morning. I know I set my alarm for 2 o'clock, went to bed at around 10, and kept looking at my alarm clock, saying, God, you got to make sure this thing goes off. And so I watched it. And I said, forget it. 1:30, I got up, and I'm just going to go out in the living room. And the men have worked so hard in the sunrise service. All of the work. We had 500 chairs out there and an incredible stage. And we about filled all but, I think, 40 chairs this morning out there. It was beautiful. We saw the moon setting and we saw the sun rising, and it was crystal clear. God answered prayer, and just between you and me, in Matthew 28, it said it was dark early in the morning when they came to the tomb. And so we said, Lord, we're going to do it 5:30 in the morning. It's dark. And one gospel says that they were at the tomb as it was getting light. And so we stayed there until it was getting light, because by about 6:20, it was light and beautiful. You could see the mountains and the snow. But also that day, it said there was a great earthquake, and the angel rolled back the stone and sat on it. We had been praying for about 2 weeks for an earthquake. That God would shake people up, you know. But mission was accomplished. We preached the gospel. People came, and we had prayed that God would raise the dead. And we got 3 complaints from Payne Ranch. There, people said we were too loud, and we woke them up. So mission accomplished. You know, it was great. The sheriff came and said, "Hey, I'm supposed to tell you guys that you're waking people up." And, "Well, what are we supposed to do about it?" "Hey, nothing. You know, it's Easter." Hallelujah, you know, praise the Lord. So once a year, you know, we wake people up. That's okay. But listen, the truth of the matter is this morning, the bottom line is that it's not as cute as it was and as precious as it was, our grandkids or our children being here this morning and acting out, rehearsing, reenacting the events of Christ's resurrection. It's not the praise group or the music. It's not exactly this message that I'm articulating. It is a fact that Christ rose from the dead, that Jesus Christ came just as the Bible foretold with great detail, and that he died for us. And we want to talk to you this morning about not religion, but relationship. Knowing him, that you can actually know him. The Bible says in Christ we live and move and have our being. And I will throughout this morning ask you, do you live in Christ? Do you have him moving your life? Or has your heart become bitter and cold against God because of your health? Because of the economy? Because maybe sometime in your life, the Christian picture was painted for you in a way that makes you sick. Putting it bluntly. Maybe you've turned on the TV and you've seen shenanigans called Christianity, and you'll say, "I have nothing to do with it." Listen, we're on your side. The bare bones facts this morning is that Jesus Christ came, and that's what we're here for. And there's a great hope. It's not a celebration this morning that Christ died and rose a long time ago. Yes, that's true. But we just read this morning in 1 Thessalonians that there's a great promise that Jesus said he's coming back. He said, "I'll come back." He said in John chapter 14, "If I go, I will prepare a place for you, and I will come again for you. And where I am, I'll take you there." Do you believe that? We can acknowledge that with our heads, but do we believe it in our hearts? The Bible says that as we approach Christ coming, there will be very few people on earth believing it. Do you believe it? Jesus says in Matthew 24 that in the last days, right before he comes back, there will be a coldness, a hardness of heart. And he says that the agape, the love of God in our hearts, will grow cold. Oh, Christian, this morning, this is the greatest opportunity for you to share the message of the risen Lord. For you non-believer, this is the day that you become a believer. This is the day that you give your heart to Christ. And the facts are this. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a man came, born of a virgin, born to take away the sins of the world. When this child was born, I know we've all had rough beginnings, but when this child was born, all of the rabbis and priests searched the scriptures. And they found in the Bible the reference where the Messiah would come as an infant born in Bethlehem, and that his life is eternal. And his name is called the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. Listen, you may not believe that this morning, but the Roman government did. And there was an issue of a decree that went forth. As this decree was issued and went out, they began to kill children around his age. A holocaust of all the Jewish males. You think that's a joke? Listen, they knew what was going on. It's a fact. It's not some religious concoction. It is a fact in secular history as well. How many people do you know? How many religious people do you know who had the way of their life foretold in Bible prophecy, line by line? Jesus is the only one. Jesus. That's why we make a big deal about Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He came and paid the price. And you say, Jack, what price? What are you talking about, a price? I believe in God. Get off my back, you know. Hey, the Bible says that we can believe in God. We can acknowledge that God exists. And say in our hearts, okay, I believe. I mean, come on, I go to church on Easter Day and Christmas. Come on, man. The Bible says in the book of James that you can believe in God like the devils do. And they tremble at the thought of God, the Bible says. Yet they're lost. And the fact of the matter is this morning, people, believing in God is not enough. God says, you must believe in my Son whom I've sent and his mission, that he went to the cross to pay our debt. What debt? The Bible tells us that we by nature sin. We blow it. We blow the Ten Commandments. I don't know about you, but somebody shared that with me a long time ago. I thought I was doing pretty good. I really did. You know, when you don't know, you know, ignorance is bliss, man. That's great. And somebody came to me and they said, have you committed adultery? No way, not me. Well, Jesus says, if you think the thought in your mind, you've broken one of the Ten Commandments. Oh, well, wait a minute, that's getting a little personal. Well, maybe that one, but, well, have you ever coveted something? Well, what do you mean? Well, have you ever seen somebody driving down the street in a nice Benz or a pickup or something that you'd like and use? Oh, boy. Hey, that's coveting. The Bible says, you're guilty. Strike. And the Bible goes on to say, if you're guilty of breaking one commandment, you're guilty of them all. And you say this morning, I came to church to hear this. Oh, man, I should have stayed home. Listen, hear me out. It's good news, really. That's the point. When man sinned, it started in the garden, a nature within us that's called the fallen nature, that we by nature sin. You know, we call it, well, I'm only human. God says you have to be holy to get into heaven. You got to be righteous to get up there. And all of a sudden in our own hearts, we feel a little bit of deficiency. Inside your heart this morning, you know, if you're honest, you may not be honest with anyone else, but right now this morning, you know in your heart that you need the Lord. And God speaks to your heart. And the fact of the matter is this, that we've all sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Well, I'm a member of Ding Dong Baptist Church. I've been a member 40 years. I've been to Calvary Chapel for 25 years. You know, Greg Laurie says, going to Winchell's doesn't make you a donut. It's true. That's not going to cut it. It's, do you know Christ personally in your heart? And that's the bottom line. Jesus didn't come to the cross and die that we could wear a neat piece of jewelry around our neck. The whole mission was laid out in Bible prophecy thousands of years before he came, that he would come and die for you. Because why? We have broken the law of God. And God says anyone who breaks the law is guilty of death. The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall surely die. Well, what's my out? On this resurrection morning, what are you Christians all fired up about then? The good news is this. Jesus said, I'll take the penalty. I'll pay the price. I'll go to Calvary's cross and I'll hang there. A holy, pure God dwelling within the form of human flesh, the Son of God. I'll pay the price. And everyone who looks to me, their debt will be canceled, wiped out. The Bible says when Christ went to the cross that God nailed the writings of ordinances. That means the breaking of the law that we had in our lives. God nailed it to his cross. Isn't that neat? It's not your cross. It's not my cross. To his cross. Jesus took your place. The good news is this. The hope that we have as Christians now looking back to the cross is we find our salvation there, not by giving money. You can relax if you're visiting. We're not going to ask for a dime. We don't want you to join this place. We don't have a membership anyway. You can't join it. We're not asking you to come back. We're just asking you to give your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I feel a conviction in my heart that this is true, that Jesus did rise from the dead, and if God went through that much pain and suffering for me, then I need to yield to Him, and I need to know Him. There's no guarantee, and isn't this the bottom line? All of us, April 19th, we just got done paying income tax, right? We will pay taxes. Another thing, certainly, we will die. All of us in this room will face death unless Jesus raptures us out of here, as the Bible speaks. We will die. Next week, a doctor could say to you, you've got a serious problem. You may go down the street. We saw a man Saturday morning that entered eternity right on the corner out here. Went into eternity. Did he know Christ? Listen, the Bible says today's the day. Today's the day to give your heart to Christ, because there's no second chances after you die. Hebrews 9:27 says, today's the day. There's no second chance. There's no guarantee that I will live to see tomorrow. There's no guarantee that you will see tomorrow. We need to give our heart to Christ now. Jesus died on a cross so long ago, as His precious arms outstretched, as He did not recoil but laid Himself down. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who believes in Me shall never die. No man comes to the Father, He says, but through Me. That's a radical statement. Buddha never said that. Joseph Smith never said that. And it doesn't matter if they said it. Jesus said, destroy My life, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Hey, that's a good test. I used to work in a laboratory. That's a good test. Let's see. Hey, they killed Him. They put Him in the ground, put a big stone over there. That big stone, see it right here? That stone estimated to weigh 4,000 pounds, by the way, the stone that's there right now. Jesus took our sins away. He went to the cross. He went to the tomb. But because He was the sinless Son of God, death could not hold Him. It was impossible. And so we have eternal life, not by what you do, but by what you believe. It's not what you know. It's who you know. Some of us know that in a negative way. You can go to a job and it's, you see people getting advancements. They don't know nothing compared to you, but yet they get advancements because it's who they know. Listen, the bottom line is, do you know Jesus? It's going to make all the difference in the world, because every one of us in this room, and you may write it off this morning as, hey, I'm doing my time. I'm sitting here now. I can't wait to get out of here. Listen, you'll never, never forget these words. You and I will stand before God. That is a promise by Scripture. You will give an account for your life. And God will ask you, what did you do with My Son Jesus Christ? I sent Him for you. And look, reaching into your pocket, leaning on your success, leaning on your intellect, leaning on what you have acquired in your life will not do. There's a story Jesus tells of a man who was very successful, and his ministry began, or his industry began to be blessed. This fly's going to drive me nuts flying around here. His work was blessed, and the guy got incredibly wealthy, and he stops and he says, my soul, boy, we've done pretty well for ourselves, haven't we? Why don't we build bigger barns and store the rest of our possessions in these barns? We'll just amass to ourselves a lot of stuff. And he orders his servants to build barns, and God says, oh, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And the man slipped into eternity, not knowing Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. You know, in the book of Daniel, the Bible tells us concerning Jesus. And God wants you to take this and put it to the test. Hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the Bible says that through Daniel, he speaks that King Artaxerxes would give a commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And so that's a test. What's the story all about? Hey, when we hear the king proclaim this message, we'll know something's happening. And so the king of an alien nation says to the Jewish nation, there in captivity, go and build the walls in Jerusalem in 445 BC, March 14th. That's a long time ago, people. The prophecy went on to say, from March 14th, 445 BC, 173,880 days from that point, the Messiah will come into Jerusalem. Zechariah says he'll be riding on a donkey. Isaiah says he'll be God come in the flesh. And all of these warning signs are up. Warning. We're getting close to the day. And guess what? 173,880 days came the date, April 6th, 32 AD. Jesus Christ, and we celebrated it last Sunday, Palm Sunday, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that had never been ridden before, just as Zechariah foretold. And that the people would worship and praise. Jesus rode in, fulfilling Bible prophecy, and that little donkey, Jesus stopping, says, "Oh, Jerusalem," looking down to it, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known that this is your day. But you would not. You rejected me. And you will be destroyed." Listen, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. Jesus says not one stone would be left upon another. That's exactly what happened. Not one stone was left upon another. The Jewish people reading their Old Testament, and you have it in your lap this morning, they studied and they knew that the Messiah would come April 6, 32 AD. They knew it, or they could have known it. Some dead, but many refused. Listen, the Bible says Jesus Christ is coming back. And you say, that's a joke. That's an idle tale. Are you kidding? Now I've heard a fairy tale. I mean, I thought this resurrection stuff was enough, but he's coming back. Hey, you know what? Jesus said so. He said he's coming back. Now we've got a test. Is he going to blow his word, or is he going to absolutely come back? Listen, he hasn't blown it yet. And I got news for you. He's not going to blow it. The Bible's true. The Word of God is correct and eternal. People, right now as we sit, you may or may not be aware of the fact that the Bible says that right before Christ comes back, right before Jesus Christ comes back, the Roman Empire of ancient time will come back into power again through economic and political means. At the end of this year, December 31st, 1992, the United States of Europe will be powered up. They have a national anthem. They have their currency. There's 12 nations right now. Watch your newspaper because they're going to drop to 10. The Bible says so. It's never been wrong. This is a test for the next 60 seconds. Judge it and see. Test the Word of God and see if it's true. God says right before the end, there will be a revised Roman Empire. And from Europe, there the economic and political power will be. It's not going to be America anymore. I hate to bum you out. It's not going to be the U.S. We're waning monetarily. We're definitely waning spiritually. We've kicked God out of classrooms. And it's illegal to pray in public schools. Listen, you kick God out of your life, the benefits that you reap are your own and not His. And here's the deal. The Bible says that Europe will become a great power right before the end. And what's called the Antichrist, the imposter, a world dictator, a leader, will arise from this great power, and he will sway the world to believe in his message. People, the Bible says that when he appears, many, many people, millions and millions of people will believe his message. And the Bible says that God will send those who reject the truth, right now, the truth, that those who reject it will believe his lie. You've got to say in your heart, come on, Jack, a world dictator? No way, we're too civilized for that. Listen, we were too civilized when Hitler came along. We were too civilized with Mussolini. The Bible says that this man will have the speaking power and charisma and the bucks and the authority and the power to dupe the world. And you know right now that if somebody's got a hold of your pocketbook, they got a lot of power. And isn't it interesting that we as a nation and the world right now is waning greatly monetarily? Isn't this a great time for an Antichrist to come and help the world? And the Bible says that those who reject Christ will, because of their rejection, be led to follow this man. This morning is a resurrection sunrise morning. And look, I'll be honest with you. We could have painted some flowery, cute message about positive thinking and tiptoe through the daisies with Jesus, you know. And we're all just one happy family. The people, we love you too much. We want to tell you what the Bible says. Jesus says, many will say to me in judgment, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do great miracles in your name? Now look, I haven't cast out any demons. I haven't done any miracles in his name. But I know he loves me and I love him and I know I'm going to heaven. But these people who say that, they're going to say, Lord, didn't we do all these things? And Jesus says, he's going to turn to them and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Into everlasting fire. Listen, it's not what you do. It's not the signs and the wonders. It's do you know him personally? And we run the risk. You know, Easter morning, churches want to pack the people in and get people to keep coming back. Listen, we may not have the opportunity to see you again. We want to give you the gospel. That Jesus Christ died for you. And he died for me. And he paid the price that you and I couldn't pay. All right? There's no frills and glitter to this. It's the truth. He loves you. In the place that you're at, if you're in adultery, he loves you. If you're in fornication, he loves you. If you're in worshiping other gods, he loves you. And he's asking you to come to him. What's called repentance, turning your life over to him. Say, man, I don't understand everything, God, but I know this is truth. And I give you my life, Lord. The Bible teaches us that Christ, if we give our life to him, will be our advocate. It means he'll be our defender. And we all will stand there before the Lord. And Christ, it's going to be so much fun. When Christ comes in, God's going to say, Jack. The Father's going to go, Jack. I guess he kind of sounds like that. I don't know. Kind of sounds like my dad, you know. Jack. You know, here I am. And the Bible says that God is a spirit and he sits on this throne. And remember, this is great. God, the Father's not human. You ever think about that? That kind of fries my circuits. He's not a human. I mean, everybody's wanting to pursue this alien stuff. And we got these little Martians that our kids fly around and spaceships. Hey, God's not a human. He's not a Martian either. He's God. He's something other than we are. And he'll stand there in all of his power and radiant glory and awesomeness. By the way, the angels who sit in his presence and stand in his presence do it like this. The Bible says they got six wings. So that blows that little theory about the little fat baby with the arrow, with the wings flapping in the back. Hey, these things are weird looking, these angels. And they got six wings, and two wings they're flapping, the Bible says in Revelation 5. And two wings, they cover their body, and with two wings, they cover their face in the presence of God. And they say, holy, 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 day and night forever. And they mean it. They mean it. And when we stand before God, God's going to be there in all of His radiant awesomeness and purity, and we're going to find out, oh man, I'm not so pure. I thought I was pretty cool. At least I wasn't like this guy. And Jesus will step in, and He'll say, Father, he's mine. This poor little Jackie is mine. And Jesus is going to wrap me in His robe and walk me away into glory. Well, that sounds a little arrogant, Jack. You know what? It's not by any doing of my own. It's what He did on the cross. It's as simple as that. Our hearts go out to you this morning. If you do not have the peace of eternal life, the Bible says that these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know it this morning? Do you know that if you died, you would meet the Lord and be saved? You can know it. I had a man tell me last service, he says, you know what? I know I'm going to heaven. And I said, on what grounds? I just know I am. He wants to get there outside of Jesus. And here's the incredible thing. There is no way outside of Jesus. Listen, God sent His only Son, not a bunch of them, His only one. And through Him is the way out of here. You will live forever. We will live forever. And you have the choice on where you spend eternity. Isn't that radical? I know you didn't want to hear that this morning, but it's truth. I remember in 1976, in the summer, if you would have asked me if I was going to heaven, I would have said, yeah, you betcha. Got a great job. Pumping iron, pretty buffed. Got a nice big car. Things are happening, dude. Of course, you think God's going to keep me out of heaven? I mean, it wouldn't be heaven without me being there. My head was so big, I needed training wheels underneath my ears. And I was living in a full-blown, well, you know what kind of relationship. Me and this little lady were up in a cabin at Lake Arrowhead. And it was about midnight. And the moon was full. And it was hot. This girl could swim. I can't swim very well. But me and my macho-ness, I'm not going to let her know that. She starts swimming across the portion of Lake Arrowhead. So, hey, okay. You know, there I go. And I got like halfway across, and I realized I wasn't going to make it. And so I turned around and just started to go back, but it was further back. But I didn't realize that. And all of these bats were skimming over the water. That was really bugging me. You ever been there? It's weird, you know? And I'm swimming. And if you would have asked me that day, you going to heaven? You bet. All of a sudden, I got scared. And that shore was a very far distance away, and I began to be so scared and thinking that I was going to die that I said, God, and I didn't know who to cry out to. My God was sex. My God was money. Ben Franklin, help me. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Budweiser, Jim Beam, somebody help me. I didn't know who to call on. And I was swimming, and my lungs began to hurt so bad. And I don't know if you've ever been to this place, but I've been there. It's incredible. I was so stupid. I didn't know how to float right. I tried to do that. I kept sinking down, and you get so tired, and you go into this lethargic state. When you get so fatigued, I went in the water. I took a big breath. And I just rested on the water with my face down. And I was saying to myself, and I share these thoughts with you, I'll just get a little bit of strength and I'll keep going. I'll just recoup and I'll keep going. Every time I would do that, I'd sink a little deeper and a little deeper. Some of you are nodding your head. Maybe you were you in that lake that night? I got so tired, and all of a sudden, death. Death that I was so afraid about. I wanted to rest so bad. I said to myself, I'll just take a little rest. Like an anesthesia. It'll be okay. I heard that in my mind. Just take a rest. It will be okay. And I don't know how I made it to that shore, but I tell you this, the next day I woke up, I was so sick. My ribs hurt so bad, and my heart hurt, and my lungs, my rib cage was so bruised up from gasping for air, I almost died. And I don't know how I made it to that shore. But for some of you, man, you could care less about spiritual things. There's an anesthesia blowing across your heart. And the Bible says that there's a Satan, that there's a devil, and that's his plan. He doesn't want to come out in red underwear with a pitchfork and go, boo! He wants you to believe that he doesn't exist. And he's got you. And so right now this morning as we close, the bottom line is this. There's a heaven, the Bible says, God says, Jesus says, and there's a hell. And we are on this planet between them both. And God says, make a decision. Jesus says, you are either for me or against me, but you must choose. Billy Graham says, every time he preaches a message, if somebody comes forward or not, decisions are made. You will vote this morning. Every one of us in this room, even though we need Christ or we have Christ, we will vote again. And your heart leaps for joy because Christ rose from the dead and your sins are washed away in him forever. And this day is a reminder of your eternal life. Or you don't really care and you'd rather just go home and go to bed. The Lord loves you and it's your choice. And we love you and we tell you the truth. Let's pray.